This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
The clip of the day, just something fun that I spotted, and I had a feeling. I know, Michael, you're going to hate this because it's the Chargers, but You got to admit, the idea of Jim Harbaugh and Mike McDaniel working together, like that, I would like to be a fly on the wall and just follow along how that story's going to progress, because those are two very unique characters in the football world, Mike.
And one of them cheated to get a national championship. I mean, I'm always going to say that, but they do have a lot of really good players on their team.
Yeah, they did. They had some good players. They may not. They probably didn't need to do that, Mike. Probably didn't need to.
Maybe.
But here is Harbaugh and McDaniel. This is just a little snippet of what I think it's going to be like this season.
Coach, you feel the juice, Coach? You feel the juice?
Yeah, we just got too many ball guys.
You can't help yourself.
It's awesome, man. It's awesome. Look at us run to the line of scrimmage.
I think of it like all the investment that's been made.
Right.
You know? It's like putting money in the bank. Now it's time to start withdrawing.
I've never wanted training camp to start more.
it kind of just reminds me of like Step Brothers. You know, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Like those two just talking. And you feel the juice. You feel the juice. Yo, man, I just can't wait for practice to start. Look at all these guys running out here. I mean, there's a lot of energy, Mike. We'll say there's a lot of energy between those two.
Yes, a lot of energy.
This obviously is something to watch out for, to see how Mike McDaniel does. And you should care about this, Mike, because it affects the Broncos, to see how Mike McDaniel fits in ultimately with the Chargers and Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. The combination seems like it could be pretty damn electric if they can keep their offensive line healthy. I think the Chargers are going to be a tough team, Mike. They're going to be a really tough team.
I think they come in number two.
I think if the Broncos can survive that first portion of their schedule, which I know you have them going 6-0 in that first six. But if they come out of that pretty healthy, 4-2 even, yeah, you're feeling pretty good about not only their chances of winning the AFC West, but maybe their chances of going and getting crazy in the playoffs and doing it, Mike. Getting a Super Bowl out of this whole deal. This is going to tell us a lot. It's going to tell us a lot. We're going to learn a lot more, I think, about Davis Webb and Bo Nix and just how that dynamic is going to work out. Haven't heard much yet from training camp. Again, it was just yesterday, Michael, that as far as Davis Webb's impact on this offense, but that's what we're holding out hope for, is that he's really going to give Bo Nix the tools he needs to take that next step and be a complete quarterback.
The real question, though, Brady, is how will Davis Webb affect Bo Nix's ankle?
Well, according to the stuff we saw yesterday, the ankle's fine.
Okay.
So I told you, we're putting it away. It looks good.
I just didn't know. I was so worried.
You can't get Bo Nix's ankle out of your mind. It's
no,
just
I'm
top
making
of
fun
mind
of Denver
for you.
Media.
It's crazy to me. Is there another injury? Maybe Gabriel Landeskog. We talked about his injury quite a bit.
I know, but that kept him out for like 2.5 seasons.
Right.
This was an injury that kept him out for the game and kept the Broncos out of being a Super Bowl champion.
A significant game, and I don't know if they're Super Bowl champions. You think they're beating Seattle? With Bo?
Yes.
No. What? I don't know. I would probably say I don't believe that they did.
Broncos defense was better. Broncos offense was better. They should have beaten the Patriots by 2 scores. I can see a 20-10 victory.
If Bo's there?
Actually, it could have even been 13-3 because they wouldn't have scored that touchdown if Stidham hadn't panicked.
I just don't know. I know that's the popular take that if Bo Nix is playing in that Patriots game, the Broncos are winning. I think you're forgetting that Bo, like we saw him in the bad rain against the Jets, and he was awful. What makes you think that he's slinging it in that snow last year?
It would have happened.
I just don't know, man.
And better play calling, too. Come on, Davis Webb. Be my hero.
That's where we're really curious just to see how this is going to work. And I don't think we've got any information, like new information to us that's going to lead us to believe that it's different right now. I think we're really going to tell probably when we get into the preseason to see how David, because he called plays last year. He called plays in some of the preseason games. But, no, it's camp. It's camp stuff. It's all good. Jalen Waddle, I guess, made a one-handed catch.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
He's wide open. Nobody was on him. So, goes up, grabs it with one hand. And I kind of think all those guys can make one-hand catches if nobody's touching them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're NFL players. If you don't make a one-handed catch, that's a failure.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, we've seen wide receivers who have been really, really ring of fame type, like just flat out drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. But that's usually like a guy who gets the ball all the time, has the most drops, but also gets 100 balls thrown his way.
Yeah, camp's camp, man. Aside from injuries and fights at camp and all that stuff, like, it's the same old, same old.
That's another thing about preseason. You want to get that stuff out of the way. And you know there's going to be a fight between two teams, and it's going to be a big controversy like it is every year. The Broncos got into it with this team. Blah, 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 blah.
They're not doing the joint practice thing this year, are they? The Broncos?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think they're messing with it.
I'd like to see them fight another team.
I'm ready to go. I have a lot of questions, Mike. I know you're Mr. like, oh, they're going to win every game, but I'm really curious just to see how good this team really is. This could be the year. This could be Super Bowl year, Super Bowl number 4 coming to the Broncos, as close as they were last year.
Could be.
Yeah, could be. There's no guarantees, Mike. That's why they play the game.
I guarantee it.
That's a guarantee. You guarantee they're going to win the Super Bowl.
I guarantee it.
Really? So what happens if they don't? You got to put something on the line, Mike.
Then a time traveler came around and ruined things for us. I will science fiction explain away the Broncos.
Why do you do and say and act and be the person that you are?
Because
why?
I am amazing, Brady. I am your secret hero.
No. The Broncos stuff, man. Like, okay, give me this. Is there a concern at all in your mind about this roster? Is there any particular position group that you're somewhat concerned about?
Injury-wise, it would be running back if J.K. Dobbins goes down. Are they going to continue to run the ball?
No, that's why I think Jonah Coleman has to be a significant addition quickly, even though he's a rookie. I think that has to be big.
He's a rookie, and he runs tough, which means players are probably going to try to be tough around him, which does not necessarily bode well for a long career, especially nowadays.
Yeah, the J.K. Dobbins thing is certainly something big that we're going to be paying attention to in the offseason.
If he works on his vision, he needed better vision in the backfield because he'd get the ball and he'd be like, where did I go? Like, if you got to find a hole quickly, go right through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think again, R.J. Harvey, Jonah Coleman, those guys are – you're going to have to ask a lot. I think you're going to ask a lot of your rookie running back and your second-year running back. Because I think J.K. Dobbins, if he's healthy, Michael, I think he could be one of the best backs in the league. He was on his way.
He was doing really well. Our best weapon.
Yeah. I seriously do think he can – If he can't, again, it's like the Aaron Gordon thing, man. If he stays healthy, then look out. You have a premier running back on your roster.
We think he can. He lost a wheel.
How about defensively? Do you think, is there a concern defensively for you? Like, can they keep up this elite level of defense that they've had for the last 2 years? Because, again, I think this AFC West is going to be tough. I think that first six games is going to be tough, and you're going to rely on that defense a lot as Davis Webb kind of figures this thing out on the play calling side.
My thing would be the linebacker situation. Play a lot of really, really smart tight ends, a lot of talented tight ends. Are the linebackers going to be able to cover, or do we
big
need
year,
a safety to come down?
Big year, Justin Cernan. Like, that's big year coming up potentially for him. You know, he even said it when he re-signed with Denver. He's like, obviously, I'm not re-signing if I wasn't anticipating being a starter for this team. So he knew he was going to likely be that guy. And if there is a weakness on this Broncos roster, it's probably the inside linebacker position. You know, with Alex Singleton and Justin Sternad, and Red, your guy Red Murdoch, like
that dude. I almost want to buy a jersey of his.
I do too. I hope he works out. Doesn't he have the record for forced fumbles, Mike? Isn't that what it is?
Forced fumbles in college, I believe.
Yeah. So I mean, he could be a player.
We'll
he could be someone to watch out for.
Speaking of Murdoch, the actor who played Murdoch in the A-Team was also a recurring actor in a few episodes in Star Trek: The Next Generation. Welcome.
Why did that help or hurt the show?
That helped the show. I wonder what they did in PE.
17 minutes after the hour. What did you do in PE? Let's take a quick break here. The Colorado Buffaloes. What does ESPN have to think of? Or what do they think of the Buffaloes in Coach Prime's fourth year? What's the over under? Wow, there it is. Win total for Colorado. Are we seeing a bounce back this year? We'll talk about it coming up next.
Good Morning NOCO has their eyes on the skies this summer. Hear Denver and Front Range Weather's Cody Wilson on the show for the latest local forecast on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Tell you guys, Big City Roadhouse, they now have brunch going every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm looking at the menu now. They got Belgian waffles, chicken and waffles, French toast, the Roadhouse, which is two eggs, potatoes, bacon, and toast, Roadhouse Rancheros, breakfast burger, and, of course, the breakfast burrito. Make brunch amazing with Big City Roadhouse.
I would like you to buy me a burrito.
I could go for a burrito right now.
Oh, crap.
I could go for a breakfast burrito right about now. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
But don't they only do the burritos from 10 to noon?
10 to noon every day. They got breakfast burritos going. And they're so good. I had one when we went out there a month or two ago.
How much do you think I would have to bribe the waiter or waitress to get me one of those burritos? Like, I know you're not serving it now, but here's extra money.
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's a journey you're going to have to go on, Michael.
You know what we should do? We should not have the show tomorrow and just go to Big
City
Roadhouse.
Just go eat at Big City? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. The Colorado Buffaloes over under the projection, at least according to ESPN, as of March, they have listed as 4.5.
Under.
Here's what they write in the Big 12 preview from ESPN. In Sanders' fourth year in charge, he's looking at his third or fourth total reset. The thing is, I like nearly everyone he added. There's more proven production on this roster than even the 9-win 2024 team had. It has to gel, and massive makeovers always come with risks. But I like this team's potential a lot more than a lot more of the people that are reviewing this team or giving them credit for.
I've heard a lot. Many, many players over the years have potential, and potential, and the words potential and coachable don't really mean that much to me in sports. Yeah, it's proven, but is it proven this year?
I need to see if Coach Prime can coach. I don't know if he can coach.
Or hire a good coordinator.
Have we seen it yet? Seriously. Have we seen Coach Prime out-coach another coach?
They need to hire another coach to coach him on when to call timeouts.
A coach? Like the Broncos tried to do? The coach?
Yeah. And that worked just a little bit, but mm-hmm. they still weren't that good that year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the more I see that, I'm just curious. Like, he's not calling plays. He's not an X's and O's coach. And it doesn't say he doesn't know X's and O's. It's just he's more of the motivational guy.
Like me.
Yes. Yeah, it's exactly the comparison. I think of Coach Prime, and I immediately think of you. Yeah.
I'm so motivating for you guys.
Here they continue to write, Colorado's SP Plus ranking has either improved twice or regressed once by at least 40 spots in each of Deion Sanders' three seasons in charge. I'm not sure that big a jump is in store this season, but while I don't have statistical backing for this claim, I'm just really enamored with the transfer class Sanders reeled in from high-level proven FBS starters such as receivers Danny Scudero, which I am hearing a lot about him. He came from San Jose State. Cam Perry, center Demetrius Hunter, defensive tackle Santana Hopper, linebacker Gideon Lampron, and corner Justin Eaglin came from James Madison. So they like a lot of these players. And then they really like the hiring of Brendan Marion, which I've talked about that a lot, Michael. I think that is one of the more interesting side stories as we're talking about who's the most interesting a lot this week to you as far as localish teams in the area. And I think Brendan Marion with the go-go offense and the fact that that guy has been everywhere is going to be something worth really looking into. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I mean, it's a big season. It's a big season for Coach Prime. I don't know that it's make or break. I don't know that it's boom or bust for him. Not yet with the buyout that he has. But definitely needs to see something soon, man. Like, what if they're really bad? What if they win two games? Do you have to buy him out? Can you find somebody to help you buy him out? Nobody's going to want to write that check.
You take money from the math department. Math is useless.
Man, if he's bad and then they can't really do anything, I mean, that just, again, goes back to his negotiation skills. He got himself a great contract and almost a bulletproof buyout for a team that's not in a position to just throw dollars around. And I think it's, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I like the names on this list, but you know, you're telling me you got a San Jose State guy that people are really high on, a Miami, Ohio guy, center, Demetrius Hunter, Cam Perry, excuse me, Demetrius Hunter is the defensive tackle out of Houston. Scudero is the one I keep hearing a lot about. And then you got a bunch of new faces for CU. And of course, the big one is Julian Lewis. Is he going to be the guy? Is he going to be the man? You know, that was the hope last year. And well, they put him in late in weird situations, and he even admitted I was just kind of running around out there. Didn't really have a lot of organization to my game yet, and he feels much different this year. So, some say that's on Pat Shurmur.
I would blame a lot of it on Pat Shurmur.
I think you can blame some of it, but
I was excited when the Broncos hired Sherman. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be great. And then, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was kind of a short-lived situation with Pat Shurmur. I don't know, man. I could see this ending in a disaster for the Colorado Buffaloes. And that would be, it's not just a losing season that would hurt you. The fact that you're stuck and you're seriously doubting that this is going to be the trajectory of Coach Prime with the Buffs is a future with Coach Prime. I didn't think we'd ever have even this close of a conversation about it, Mike. I thought, nah, there's no way. Coach Prime's either going to retire or he's going to go get a better job. That's how he'll leave the Colorado Buffaloes. I never once thought that there would be a discussion and going into his fourth year about whether or not you can buy him out if you didn't like what you were seeing anymore.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming either, especially after the first few games. After that win over TCU, who was a playoff team the year before,
mm-hmm.
that was amazing.
They were big
Everybody
dogs in that
was
game.
He is the answer. And
then TCU turned out to be pretty bad that year, and they didn't win many more games after that. Now, they had a hell of a game against CSU. That was a lot of fun. But it just...
Too many controversies around it.
That game?
You talking about my mother?
That game, yeah, that and the glasses and the Henry Blackburn hit, you know, on Travis Hunter.
That was a...
Yes, he got flagged for it.
I thought it was a dirty play. What I loved about that was the two of them getting together.
I think it was a bang-bang play that happens in football.
Leaning a little towards the dirty side.
I don't think it was dirty. That was a hell of a hit, though.
It was a hit.
Yeah.
Look, and the fact that the two got together and bowled and, like, well, hopefully calmed down the fan base. Because, like, fan base was pissed.
Yeah, it took the two, you know, student-athletes to get together to calm things down. And unfortunately, it wasn't Coach Prime or anything. It was those two coming together, letting the fans know, especially Buffs fans, know that, hey, and Travis Hunter said it quickly. He did, like, a Zoom or a video on it and said, guys just playing football. You know, guys make it bad. You make illegal hits. It happens sometimes. And Travis, I thought, was the hero in that story. The fact that he came out and said, and quickly tried to put that fire out. He did it before Coach Prime did.
Yeah, that was smart. Says a lot about him and his character.
Yeah. And Henry was like, he was receiving death threats. And
oh, I hate that.
People were saying he was another player that had gotten in trouble at his old high school. They were saying that it was him, but it wasn't him. It was a different kid they were talking about. The guy was receiving a lot of crap. From people.
I hate that. That's one thing I don't like about social media is, like, everybody deserves a voice. Not everybody should talk. And people sending death threats are the type of people who should just shut up.
Yeah.
They ain't smart.
No, it's not a good look. Hey, fun two-man game podcast today. Coach Smiley couldn't make it, so we brought in assistant coaches Dorian Green and Houston Reed. That was fun. I asked, so Dorian played at CSU, Michael. He's like one of their best players historically. You know, I asked him, like, do you love playing that game? Because for me as a fan, I absolutely love it being in the state. And, you know, he said he hated it. He said he absolutely hated playing in that game because it's just too much emotion. And you kind of get that vibe. You know, he doesn't look forward to it at all. But it's a fascinating conversation today. Great job by both those guys.
And you can find that podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and, of course, 1310KFK.com.
That's correct. Yep, 32 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice. How did we even get into the PE conversation? We were talking about your legendary softball team.
I think that's how we got into it.
And then we randomly started talking about the crap they made us do when we were in school.
I mean, that was half of hour two.
School's interesting to me. You know, just the stuff that we had to do to pass the time. I mean, so many classes that we took didn't seem like we needed to be taking all those classes.
No, there are certain classes I understand, like home ec, sure, but like there are other things more important. I personally feel after algebra, after algebra 1, you shouldn't have to take math
right.
Unless you want to.
Yeah. And why do we even really need algebra, Mike?
Yeah, like I don't use it in
I mean, if you're into that, it's going to be your career, but can you do algebra? Can you do it today?
No, I don't even like remember. It's like, the 100 over something. I don't remember.
That, we ought to cram for that stuff and learn how to do it. And if you don't do it all the time, it goes away.
Yeah, like I do criticize schools a lot, especially public schools. But you know, that's me. My biggest criticism is they don't teach every student's way. Like, I was just not – I had to write down every note, like, word for word. I just, like, paying attention in the classroom, being talked to, that didn't – I didn't learn that way. Like, I learn things when I'm curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
School just wasn't for me.
No, I enjoyed a lot of different classes. I thought some of it was very interesting. But overall, it's just I go back sometimes and I think about – you know, the certain classes that we had and whatnot. And it's just, especially like PE, talking about like juggling scarves. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, there are certain classes that I think need to be left in the dust, and other classes that, because things go so fast these days, that maybe you should teach kids how to do. Like, you know, spotting news that's not real, or, you know, balancing a checkbook.
Why do we take so many science classes? We always had these crazy elaborate science classes we would take too.
Yeah, like some science was fine and some was just boring, and a lot of it was based off of whether you liked the teacher or not.
Yeah, I wasn't. I definitely like the history classes. I think are extremely important if you have the right teachers.
Yeah, I've had
some really
good history
classes. Important. I think you should know about your government, your local government, your state government, your national. I think you should know about those things.
I think also history is also not taught very well, because a lot of it is very like I don't recall ever learning about what happened to Japanese Americans in World War II. That's something in high school you should know, because there are so many parts of history that, you know, I'm afraid might be repeated because we didn't know about it and we're not paying attention and looking for that. Like, you should teach history from a more neutral standpoint, not just America and not America, but somewhere in between.
Faith, things that are important they took away, like home ec and teaching cursive. Yeah.
No.
Teaching cursive?
Brady, you've never seen Brady's writing.
Yeah, my handwriting's
terrible.
Brady
is like a doctor. Yeah. With his writing.
Yeah, it's yours is pretty bad, but mine's worse than yours.
Yeah, yours is worse. Yeah. I would say in the office, I'm a close second.
Yeah, I think we're both. If I really sit down and concentrate, then it's okay, but I just go so fast. I write very fast.
Yeah, I can't write on a whiteboard or a chalkboard with my right hand and have it legible, but with my left hand, I'll write on a chalkboard.
Yeah, it is. So many of the classes, like, I still to this day, like, my government class I took in high school was really good.
It depends on if you have a good teacher.
Our history teacher was, like, our football coach.
So,
I mean, it was talking
throw
a lot
the ball
about,
to you and then Abraham Lincoln
football.
Existed.
Well, no, and he was a big movies guy. He'd put movies on and we'd have to do reports on that. And he wouldn't explain like what's actually accurate in those movies because he didn't know.
Yeah.
We watched Braveheart and we like
historically
we did a report
inaccurate.
On Braveheart, and it's like not once did were we told like, yeah, this didn't happen, that didn't happen. That's
he was
not
9 years old
accurate.
At the time.
I think that we need to do a better job of that for sure. But yeah, there's just so many of those classes.
I had a really good civics teacher, Mr. Irvine. Like, one of my best teachers, and I didn't appreciate it at the time, but, like, I learned from him to be more discerning of what the news is saying, like, why they are saying this. And I was lucky it was the Dole Clinton election, so we were able to focus on that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember learning a lot about that, you know, when that was going on. Yeah, that's interesting.
Dole fell down again.
Yeah. Bob Dole.
I'm Bob Dole.
And I remember he did like a Dr. Pepper commercial.
That he did. I think he also did a Viagra commercial too.
Did he really?
Yeah, but one of them was, I think it was Dr. Pepper, and like he turned to the camera at some point. He's like, I just can't win, can I?
Yeah, he said, Chris, like Tanner doesn't believe me. We had milk breaks.
I didn't.
Like we had lunch break, and then in the early afternoon, We would have a milk break, and then we'd go out to recess.
Yeah, I remember we had like a 15-minute break, and then a 30-minute break, and then a 15-minute break. I think that's done well, because there are times where I'm like, I get done with this class, and then I go to a class that I hate, and then I go to another class. It's like I'm learning three different things. How much of that am I retaining?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I took meticulous notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, school was – listen, I learned a lot, but there was also a lot of things where I look back now and I'm like, man, that was just to get us through the day, man.
Yeah,
just getting us through.
And look, I do give school systems a hard time, but also parents are pretty awful. Like, there are some really bad parents out there. Ask any high school coach. There are some bad parents out there that probably shouldn't have been breeding.
Where's the connection to school with the parents?
Well, like, parents, like, it should be like some kind of partnership. Like, your parents should be involved.
Yeah.
But sometimes parents just want to blame the teacher for kid being stupid. Or blame the teacher.
I didn't have parents like that. That would, like, if I was screwing up, or you know, in a class or struggling or what. Although I did okay, so I didn't really have those issues. But like coaches and stuff, if I didn't get playing time, my parents were not stepping in. They were like, "You got to handle it. That's your business, man."
Yeah, I like that.
So you
see,
go.
You
go talk to the coach if you're upset with your playing time, and see what he says, and then you work on whatever it is he tells you to work on.
Yeah, and I think a lot of parents, they live vicariously through their kids' athleticism, and you can't be doing that. I had a parent who was like, if you get a C, you're getting punished. Hmm. So I always worked really hard to get my A's and B's, especially in math and
Faith
psychology.
Texting in, as someone who works with students daily and takes paperwork for employment from them, not one knows how to sign their name. It's sad. So we don't teach cursive at all. Like we
no,
don't
not
even.
Anymore.
So you don't
well,
sign your name.
Everything's on computers now.
You don't sign signet. You don't sign something in person anymore. I mean, I know we sign digitally now, but you still got to sign.
Well, now it's
all
going to be thumbprints.
So we don't teach cursive at all.
No, I don't think so.
Do we even teach print?
That I would say keep that, but cursive you don't need.
But you
have like something
know.
In your Word document that's cursive.
Yeah, I mean, digitally, I sign most things now. So that is interesting to see how that's kind of changed.
A lot of times when I'm signing for something, I'll come up with something funny.
Faith, because that's what you do to give kids milk and send them out in the hot sun. I never understood milk at lunch and then go run, jump, and play. Oh, yeah, it was always milk.
Yeah, you got to work that milk off.
It was never just water. Like, just go fill up a cup of water and have water. It was milk. We always had to have milk.
Well, that's because kids need more vitamin D. Well, I guess that's what the sun is for, but like they need the calcium.
Yeah, wild thinking back to all that stuff. 46 minutes after the hour. Michael, did we learn much today? I don't. This is one of the
I think we learned a lot about PE and what we think is cool.
It was all over the place today, this show was, but sometimes that happens. But we're getting closer to it, man. We're getting closer to football season, and I'm ready. I'm ready to see what all these teams have in store for us coming up. 47 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's take a quick break. What did we learn? We'll wrap up this edition of The Whole Show coming up next.
Another prep season in the books, and soon we'll be looking ahead to high school football season. Hear Coach speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
All right, Michael, What did we learn today? A lot of interesting stories that we're waiting to get more information about. That Wyoming punter story, certainly one I have several questions on.
I have a lot of questions, too. Like, why are you guys threatening him?
Yeah.
You don't know if he's done anything.
Well, the whole story is fascinating. The only reason we're talking about it today is because it involves a Wyoming punter. So we learned from Kevin Lytle that this Pac-12, he's saying he's not ready to say this is the most important season for CSU in their history. I think it is. I think this is the most important season in their history. Yeah. What? What's the other one? Give me another one. If you're going to shake your head.
Well, it's just like, it's an important time.
Most important.
But is it the most important in history? No. Yeah. How about one where they were ranked in the top 25? That,
you're talking about their most successful. I'm saying most important. That's different.
Maybe the first year, probably pretty important, maybe more important than this.
The first year ever?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't care about football then. First time they played football, we probably didn't care, like we do now. So it wasn't that important, was it?
It was very important.
I think it's big. We learned that some people kind of believe in this roster, this Buffs roster. It could be good, but I have my questions about the head coach now. I am now at that point, Michael, where is Coach Prime... Is he actually a good coach? That's the question I don't know that a lot of people want to ask anymore for some reason. The Jonathan Cooper story, Mike. Did the Broncos make the wrong move by allowing him to be at practice? Is that, or at training camp? Is that the right move by this Broncos staff?
Depends on your point of view. If you're waiting for him to be considered innocent or guilty, and you lean more towards he's guilty, a lot of those people are like, he needs to stay away from practice. I'm actually shocked that they allowed him to come.
I kind of am too, especially since they pushed him away from, you know, minicamp. I was shocked by that.
Yeah, I can see it both ways, and I don't blame anybody for seeing it different ways. But if you're the ownership group, you do have to balance his impact in the locker room.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. What else did you learn today, Mike? Anything else? Is that it? Is that all we learned?
I learned that you did square dancing. Mm,
yeah, tough time. Tough go there. Not a big fan of the old square dancing. I just don't understand why we did certain things. And I'm glad Faith brought up the scarf juggling. That was a weird time in my life, too.
I've never heard of that.
Faith, it sounded like we went to a very similar school. Just, here, kids, do stuff, because we're tired of stuff.
Maybe she went to Cheyenne Wells after you.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but we had a lot of... And she gets milk break, too. Not everybody understands milk break. Milk break was a very fun time. Sometimes there were snacks there, too.
Well, Tanner doesn't understand it, because he drinks directly from the cow.
Well, he drinks milk all the time, so every day, every hour is milk break.
Yeah, you get under there, you like fill the pan full of milk, then you get under there and fill your mouth full of milk, and that's milk break.
Why? That's weird. That's a weird image that you put in our brains, Michael. Thank you for doing that.
Well, it was on Resident Alien, and also Tom Green did that on a late night show.
The Tom Green Show.
It was weird.
The Tom Green Show.
He's been doing a podcast for a while.
The Tom Green Show was great. It was hilarious. Not a lot of people got it. Part of the reason my generation, Derbs and I, are
maybe
idiots.
It was Andy Dick. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think it was Tom Green. All right, fun show coming up on Friday. We'll reach out to Benjamin Albright from Broncos Country tonight, get his updates on all things Denver Broncos, his thoughts on training camp thus far. So we'll get it straight from, you know, one of the main sources that talks Broncos, and Benjamin Albright.
Albright now.
Yes, that's
all right now.
Why, Mike? We were rolling here, man. We were rolling, and you end it that way.
Let's talk about PE a little more.
No, I think we've exhausted jump ropes. That conversation. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow on a Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.